every day, Mass is celebrated at St. Dominic's Chapel at the Chancery Offices of the Archdiocese of Atlanta. The following is a recording of today's readings and homily from a previous year.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah.
Thus says the Lord, "Lo, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The things of the past shall not be remembered or come to mind. Instead, there shall always be rejoicing and happiness in what I create. For I create Jerusalem to be a joy and its people to be a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and exult in my people. No longer shall the sound of weeping be heard there, or the sound of crying. No longer shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not round out his full lifetime. He dies a mere youth who reaches but 100 years, and he who fails of 100 shall be thought accursed. They shall live in the houses they build and eat the fruit of the vineyards they plant." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our responsorial psalm, "I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me."
I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me.
"I will extol you, O Lord, for you drew me clear and did not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, you brought me up from the netherworld. You preserved me from among those going down into the pit. I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. Sing praise to the Lord, you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger lasts but a moment, a lifetime his goodwill. At nightfall, weeping enters in, but with dawn, rejoicing.
I will praise you, Lord, for you rescued me.
Hear, O Lord, and have pity on me. O Lord, be my helper. You changed my mourning into dancing. O Lord, my God, forever will I give you thanks.
I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me.
Praise and honor to you. Praise and honor to you. Praise and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Seek good and not evil, so that you may live, and the Lord will be with you.
Praise and honor.
Praise and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus left Samaria for Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his native place. When he came into Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, since they had seen all he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves had gone to the feast. Then he returned to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. Now there was a royal official whose son was ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, who was near death. Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "You may go, your son will live." The man believed what Jesus said to him and left. While the man was on his way back, his slaves met him and told him that his boy would live. He asked them when he began to recover. They told him the fever left him yesterday about 1 p.m. The father realized that just at that time Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he and his whole household came to believe. Now this was the second sign Jesus did when he came to Galilee from Judea. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're going to be hearing a lot from St. John, from John's Gospel this week, every day except for, I think, Thursday. And John is talking a lot about believing and unbelieving. The major sin for John was not believing, was to failure to believe in Jesus, the one sent by God. Yesterday, if you heard the gospel from also from John, Jesus gave us the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Well, we're included in that world, but the liberating effect of that love, of that divine love, will be available to us only to the degree that we believe. Only to the degree that we believe. You heard Jesus said it himself, whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned. So it's important, it's really pretty important that we understand what he's talking about when he talks about belief. It's important for us to understand what believing means in our daily lives. And it's tempting, I think, to think that believing is about affirming the creed, or it's about agreeing that Jesus existed, that he ministered, that he worked miracles, that he suffered and died and rose. And those things are important. It's important that we affirm those truths. But that's not what John's talking about when he says when he's talking about believing. In fact, one can sincerely affirm all those facts theoretically and still live a very selfish life. To believe in the one who was lifted up, to use John's words, to believe in the one who was lifted up means nothing less than to make his self-offering part of our own lives. It's all about our daily concern for others. It means to live unselfishly. Most of us, I was saying the other day at one of the masses I had, most of us were, were baptized as infants. A time when we had very little understanding of what was going on. Our sponsors or our godparents promised in our names that we renounced Satan and that we affirmed Christ. And it was hoped then that they, our sponsors, and others would teach us what all of this meant as we grew older. Unfortunately, we usually don't. We don't expect much more from our sponsors and our godparents in remembering our birthdays, and often less than that. But the simple fact is that those baptized as infants must claim their own baptism, as it were, when they're old enough to do so. The sacraments and the sacrament of baptism—it's not magic. It's not a magic show or a magic act, and its graces become fully operative in our lives only to the extent that we accept and live the promises made years ago in our names. When it was promised in our names to renounce Satan, we were declaring our firm resolution to eliminate from our lives the great lie of Satan, that we could achieve happiness by thinking only of ourselves, by living selfishly. And when we committed ourselves to Christ, we firmly resolved to follow his example of unselfish love, of thoughtful concern for others. Some and many would think in the world today that living this way takes all the fun out of life. But in reality, the people who do live this way, the people who do love this way, are the only truly happy people in the world. But it's one of those things that we won't really know until we try it.